Welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man. I hope all of you out there had a wonderful Thanksgiving and a safe and fun Black Friday. You know what, folks? If any of you out have a crazy or weird Black Friday type of tale or story, please send it to us here at the show via longcoatmafia@gmail.com and we'll read it on the air. I want to try to do one of these episodes without from content provided from all of you like we did way back in the beginning and not really go to Reddit for these types of stories, but I might have to. But I want to hear from all of you out there that are listening to this episode. If you got a weird or crazy tale coming from retail or Black Friday in particular as a customer or a retailer, send it to the show at longcoatmafia@gmail.com and we'll read it on the air. We'll make an episode out of it. So please, I will read it on the air, yes, and I'll give you credit. Please keep in mind, we do not pay. Okay, this is not a radio, we're similar to a radio station. We will not pay you. This is content provided from all of you. So, the reason why I state that is because when we did a Halloween special years ago, we tried to get some haunted tales in from people that might have seen ghosts or weird stuff for our Halloween episode that we did. And some of the responses came in. It's like, I ain't telling you diddly squat unless we get paid. Well, guess what? Coast to Coast doesn't pay people who call in on Fridays. Or if you call on a radio station, they're not paying you. So we're not going to pay you either. Plus, we don't have the money to pay anybody. So that being said, before we get into today's meat and potatoes of a show, I want to give you some sort of corrections and omissions. About 2 weeks ago when we did our kind of wrestling to whatever episode, and we talked about the Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling event that we went to, I should say earlier this month, we talked about how many people might have been at the event. We didn't give exact numbers because we didn't know it. We estimated. We got word from the organizers from the Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling Group saying that there was a total of 106 total ticket sales for that day. So there was at least 106 tickets sold for that event, which is decent numbers for their first time at that location. So we hope they get better, and hopefully next time it's going to be 206 or more. I'm sure they'll love to have 206 spectators at one of their events, if not more. And I hope they do achieve that goal. And the other thing is kind of a correction for last week's Disney Plus review, is because when we initially gave that review, a lot of the features that we kind of gave a critique on have changed, meaning that there is now a more clear way, or say Disney Plus has made it more clear whether or not you added that particular movie to your watch list or not. And they also made it, or added the function that, do you wish to resume this movie or start over? So it's good that the other folks like myself in the show have came out and said, hey, you don't have this, you don't, this seems broken, and they've changed it, and they're going through the changes as the service is getting more and more, I should say, older, if you will. Have I started to watch Mandalorian? Yes, I have. I have yet to watch season 4. Hopefully, when we finally get Big Candy, or a chance to speak to Big Candy, regards to everything, hopefully it's roughly when the new Star Wars movie comes out, and we'll get his epic geek rage in regards to it. We'll have him talk about Mandalorian, and by then, more and more episodes should be out, and we will be able to give you all a better review for that. So, to continue with today's episode, as you probably figured from the title, we're going to be talking about Coppa, or Coppa, depending on who you talk to and which YouTuber you have been watching. And for those of you out there living under a rock or don't know anything about what's going on in the YouTube community, let me try to break it down the best I can. Hopefully, honestly and truly, I'll be keeping this week's episode short, and hopefully I could get somebody on from the YouTube community and hear their opinions about this kind of controversy or this whole debacle. But for the most part, I'm going to speak to all of you as if you don't know exactly what's going on. Basically, right now, YouTube is in a state of panic, or the YouTube creator community is in a state of panic. And the reason why is because about a few months ago, YouTube was fined by the Federal Trade Commission and the state of New York for a grand total of $176 million, give or take, a million or two, in regards to violations of the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, or COPPA, or as the FTC tends to say, it's the Children's Online Privacy Protection Rule. Basically, six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. And what this tends to mean is, back in 95, the FTC, when the internet was nice and new and innocent, in a way, the FTC realized that there's going to be websites that are geared to children, getting information from children that, in essence, can't really give permission or information out legally. So this is why this act has come to pass, because there is a thing called directed ads towards people, meaning that through the use of your browser's cookies or aspects of what you do online, meaning if you visit Amazon and search up car parts, clothing, etc., etc., and you travel to another website, whether it be Facebook, IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, ESPN, CNN, or what have you, you're going to see ads for car parts, clothing, etc., 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 all because of your search, in essence, other pages you've been to. That's pretty much directed ads. And these ads can be directed towards children as well. And the aspect is, children under 13 may not understand the aspect of these ads, and thus these guidelines that say, hey, if you collect cookies on your website, or you have certain qualifications, or you're geared to kids, you have to not allow certain aspects for kids. You have to notify the kids that in order to be on the site and give them information, they have to go to their parent or parents and get permission to be on this site. And what happened was, the reason why YouTube kind of was floating under the radar is because for the longest while, they were geared towards the 13 and up community. And it wasn't until recently that they were saying, we're a kid-friendly site, we're geared to kids, and everything that they were doing for on the end of the YouTube creators is, you have to be kid-friendly. No cursing, no violence, no this, no that, no, you have to keep it kid-friendly. And they were touting themselves as, we're for kids. We now have a kids app. And thing is, YouTube was using targeted ads for kids. And because of this, it was sending up alerts to the FTC, and FTC was like, oh, hell no. You're getting fined now, mother sucker. So that's what happened. That's where this fine, and New York jumped in the act to get their 2 cents in, and thus the 170 some odd million dollar fine. Now, because of this, YouTube has to comply with COPPA now. And some of the things that the YouTube, even though I have the act in essence in front of me, and it's very confusing to the point that some lawyers, social media lawyers, have stated, hey, I'm a lawyer and this is freaking confusing to me because everything is super vague. And a lot of the stuff that can be applied to children applies to adults, because some of the things that was coming up is that the act, one of the things, videos that's been floating out online is that you see the folks that are behind the Federal Trade Commission saying, hey, we're not only going to hold YouTube accountable, we're going to be holding the creators accountable. And if they violate, if the creators violate this act, therefore, we're going to fine them or issue fines up to $42,500 and change per violation. Now, there are a lot of YouTubers out there that are like myself. We do not earn money on what we create. We have less than 25. We have 25 wonderful subscribers. And to all of you who are watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And please like, share, and subscribe if you're new to the channel. So, basically, the reason why a lot of the channels are up in arms is because I haven't really found it yet. The site is very FTC site is very confusing and in depth. I tried to gather as much information before doing this recording. So before I continue, please search up Game Theory and Matt Pat in regards to this. He did a wonderful video and very informative video in regards to this information and this type of ordeal that's going on. But I think a lot of, again, this is my opinion only, I think a lot of this is just mass chaos, because this overall effect goes into play in just about a month, meaning I should say officially January the 1st, 2020, this thing gets applied to YouTube officially, and therefore YouTube is ramping up and people are just making sure their channels are either kid friendly or not. Now, what is atypically defined as kid friendly underneath COPPA? Some are saying, pointing to aspects that on the Federal Trade Commission's COPPA compliance section, that it's anything with bright colors, video games, toys, clothing, makeup, anything that's geared towards kids. Now, a lot of you out there could be saying that, hey, makeup tutorials and so forth and so on can be geared to adults as well. What do you mean? Some of you might say, wait a minute, how is makeup tutorials geared towards adults? If I'm running, for those of you out there that think I'm running into kind of deeper territory, please forgive me. I don't not mean to offend, but if someone is discovering that they might be trans per se and they want to know how to put on makeup for the first time, therefore they might want to go to a channel to learn how to apply eyeliner or foundation or whatever the makeup stuff is out there. I don't know in regards to that, but that might be geared to help them in regards to doing stuff like that. But there are also adults that like Legos and cartoons and Simpsons and Rick and Morty and Adventure Time. So there's this a bunch of neutral ground out there that the creators are saying, wait a minute, I don't gear stuff for children. I gear stuff towards adult, yet some of what I do can be watched by children. And this is the aspect that they're worried about getting fined like $42,000 and change for each one of their YouTube videos. And the whole aspect is, oh man, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? And hence the state of panic. And one YouTuber came up and said, I got a late night call from someone in YouTube stating that there is a kind of a clause in COPPA that said, that recognizes the fact that there is neutral stuff. Meaning that as for every children's video in regards to Lego, per se, or Adventure Time, there is something for adults, whether it's for South Park, Rick and Morty, maybe, let's say, Robot Chicken, or, you know, something for the adults out there. And thus, yeah, it should be sent for neutral. And they were at, when it was checked, yes, it's mentioned on the COPPA site, saying that, yes, there is aspect, or the FTC does recognize that aspect of neutral videos, that they can be presented towards kids and adults as well. But how, I know I have mentioned how it affects YouTube creators. Let me go into that for a moment. There is a section of COPPA that mentions operators. It applies mainly to websites. But how does it, again, apply to creators? Let me kind of explain it in regards to this. Because there have been some YouTubers that have stated that, hey, we shouldn't get fined from this. Federal Trade Commission shouldn't come after me, the creator. They should go after YouTube. Not me. They're the one providing the ads. But the way the definition of operator kind of is written is that because you put content on their site, you become, in essence, a representative of their site. And thus, well, you're an operator too. Plus, you as a content creator, if you hold a contest on your channel in reference to, hey, send in your name, address, phone number, etc., 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 we'll put you in a for a contest for a $50 Amazon gift card, for example. Therefore, if a child of that is under 13 sees this and goes to put in their name and address, therefore, in essence, you are now falling under the rules of this Online Protection Act. So, therefore, yes, you now have to follow this type of act. You have to, you know, say, hey, I'm offering up a contest. It might be Gun for Kids. Kids, please get your parents' permission. And that particular creator now has to check off, this video is for kids. And doing so, they lose like up to 90% of any funds raised on that video. Their comments have could be turned off. Any DMs can be turned off. There is a whole aspect of stuff that YouTube is planning to kind of shut down for a lot of the kids' content to further protect them and not get fined 130-some-odd to 170-some-odd million dollars again each time this happens. So they're trying to extremely do this. And again, a lot of the YouTubers that are gunning or make a lot of their money off of YouTube are now panicking. They are now probably opening up Patreon accounts to earn, make up funds that they're already using that are pretty much getting demonetized over on YouTube. Now, there are some people like Tim Pool who have stated that, hey, because of all this, my funds could be increasing because I'm producing edgier content. And you might also see a boom in other type of content like reaction videos or videos like us that have no real static images or anything like that. Or I'm not really geared for kids. Can I be affected by, and our YouTube channel be affected by this? Well, yes and no. The reason why I say that is that some of the things that we saw in regards to COPPA and what they the guideline is that if any video or website contains video games, bright colors, language like cool, dude, and slang that in essence been around since whenever. Again, like cool, dude, fun, awesome, child models, toys, anything that is pretty much geared to kids. Do we have kind of that stuff? Yes, we do walkthroughs of conventions all the time, and that can be considered kid-friendly. But in reality, it's not really kid-friendly because sometimes we curse, sometimes we, show off stuff that is more adult-oriented, and therefore, we are kind of in that gray area. So, I just checked off the aspect of middle, that adult aspect. And as I was saying before, in regards to this whole thing of one particular YouTuber that is also a social media lawyer, and there's been digs against this guy saying, no, he's not a lawyer, or when you ask this guy, he wants to charge me money, and so forth and so on. But one particular YouTuber, who again, I'm going to say, who claims that he's a social media lawyer as well, stated that he got a call late one night saying that from someone inside YouTuber saying that there isn't, again, as we stated before, this middle ground, which COPPA does state. And he asked this insider that he didn't give any names and just said it was from an unknown number, why didn't YouTube have this option for middle ground? And it was simple, money. Meaning that YouTube, in regards to all this, has been saying that it's either A or B in regards to getting our numbers in more so in the black, behind the scenes. The reason why I say that is because for the longest while, YouTube has been running in the red. Meaning, even though it's getting income from advertisers and other sources, it's paying more out to all the creators that can earn an income off of YouTube, whether it's enough to give them extra gas money to their 9-to-5 or give them an actual living, whether it be an extra $12,000 a year, $24,000 a year, $36,000 a year or more, because that folks like Markiplier and PewDiePie are making up to $1 million, if not more, a yearly basis. And one of the things that came out, I got to bring it up on my phone because that's where that particular article is. And there was this article that came out recently in regards to this. That's the blogs. Same thing I did, was looking up. Well, let's see here. Some of the comments for the almost every video on YouTube contradicts with one to all of the guidelines that's on this page. We need simple rules that all of us can follow. Simple rules to follow would be great for YouTube like me, so I can keep uploading content. The FTC replied to this is that the complaint in the YouTube case offers some examples of the channel's FTC is considered to be directed to children. For example, many content creators explicitly state in the About section of their YouTube channel that their intended audience will be 13 and under. Other channels made similar statements in communications with YouTube, in addition to many other channels, featured popular animators' children's programs or showed kids playing with toys or participating in other child-oriented activities. Some of the channel owners who enabled settings that made their content appear when users searched for the names of popular toys or animated characters, so forth and so on. But what the article I saw was from Slate.com. Was kind of yelling at the YouTubers saying that they were misinformed, and they're kind of undermining the fight. Just read the article a little bit. It says, the latest people fighting against children's privacy are not slick lobbyists, but instead a group of much closer to home. YouTubers with family and kids vlogs. Their current target is the COPPA. That aims to put parents in control of their kids' data. I'm kind of summarizing here. The FTC alleged that Google/YouTube violating the law with getting targeted ads. But it says, however, protecting children, the access that children have to YouTube carries with a corporate obligation to institute and enforce policies that protect the well-being of these young users. But the thing is, here it goes in regards to that. Some claim that YouTube will have to ban certain types of content, such as videos about the popular game Roblox. Others, from food bloggers to a cappella artists, worry that YouTube will have to disable all personalized advertising on a video just because a child may watch it. One commentator said that she will have to start swearing like a sailor and incorporate more adult conversations into her videos in order to avoid being covered by COPPA. Searching for end of YouTube channel on the site reveals a number of content creators informing their loyal viewers that COPPA and the settlement may be the end of YouTube as they know it. Well, they're kind of right, because a lot of folks kind of rode the wave of, many folks understand that YouTube has, during its history, gone through a lot of changes. Now, I'm not talking about the adpocalypse and so forth and so on, but what I'm talking about is the fact that earlier on, like a couple years ago, that YouTube was geared towards animators. That was the biggest thing. To putting your animation on YouTube. YouTube short animated. Like stuff from Foamy the Squirrel and Ill Will Press and everything else that was kind of animated. It was put on YouTube, because that's where you had this kind of, not so much free reign, but the bandwidth was there. It was played towards these folks. Then it was the gamers. Minecraft, Nintendo and everything else went to YouTube, because that was the next big thing. Then it was reaction videos. Then it was X, Y, and Z. Then it was another type of thing. Then it was another type of thing. Then the apocalypse hit. So YouTube has gone through changes like that. And because gaming, children's stuff is still kind of the big thing right now, in being due to all these child-friendly aspects and YouTube getting hit by a lot of parents' groups in regards to, hey, why are you giving advertisers to people like PewDiePie and these folks with violent content that are building sledgehammers or making swords or showing off their blacksmithing skills? This is violent stuff. We can't let our children watch this. How dare you put ads on this Coca-Cola? And YouTube bends at the knees and tells folks, you know, that our creators, hey, you gotta make it kid-friendly. You can't curse. You can't do this. You can't do that. And the YouTubers make their stuff more kid-friendly or family-friendly. And so forth, this hits. Now, because their channel is more geared towards kids, not adults, as well, they're losing money. and they're making more closer to maybe, let's say, 12 to 24,000 a year. Now they're making 10,000, if not less, because the algorithms that are on YouTube right now keep demonetizing a lot of content for the dumbest crap, and it takes a long, even longer time to say that, hey, it doesn't violate anything. And what a lot of folks have stated, that if there is that aspect of, hey, I said to you, YouTube, my stuff is not kid-friendly, and that's why I checked that box, and now you're saying that it's kid-friendly, it's not. And they're afraid that they're going to get fined by YouTube because of this. And when YouTube does a manual check, the person on the other end of that check may have a different opinion on what's child-friendly or not. Meaning, a content like mine, which might not have any cursing in it, might be family-friendly, but it's not geared towards children in any way. Let's take our four-state walkthroughs, for example. I put on adult, this is for 13 years or up. I could get dinged by YouTube saying, hey, no, that's for under 13. That's kid-friendly. And when I tell YouTube, no, it's not kid-friendly. It's for 13. It's also available for 13 on up. The person on the other side could say, nope, kid-friendly. You're showing comics. You're showing toys. You're showing X, Y, and Z. Well, adults like comics. Adults like toys. Adults like X, Y, and Z. It's for everyone. So I could still get dinged for that. Because it's another person's interpretation. This is some of the confusion, some of what's going on with COPPA. Now, whether or not this actually gets blown out of proportion, or the fact that YouTube is doing just adults or kids options strictly because if they check off kids, they get to earn, YouTube gets to put more black in their book instead of red and make more money, i.e., oh, we're going to run ads on your channel, whether it's kid-friendly or not, just that we're going to keep the money, not give it to you. And that could hurt creators. We'll have to see as time goes by what happens after the first of the year. Hopefully, we'll try to get a few people on, or one person on in regards to this whole ordeal, what they have to think about this. Whether or not this officially affects us in the new year, again, even we will see. We'll let you all know. Like I said, this is already past the 30-minute mark. Yes, again, I said this is going to be a short type of episode. I'm happy that it is. So that being said, I'm going to kind of end it here and just have this kind of a short little thing about COPPA and what's happening with YouTube. So if you have any YouTubers, or you know any YouTubers that you follow that posted stuff up on COPPA, or what your thoughts on COPPA might be, you could send them to us here at the show via a email, which is, again, longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or you can leave us a message on Facebook, through Facebook via their messenger. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/ The Long Coat Mafia Podcast, and click on message us and we'll get to it and we will respond and possibly read your message on the air. As well as you could leave, if you're kind of listening to this, and yes, I used air quotes on a Audible podcast. If you're listening to us on YouTube and as a background thing, you can leave a comment down below and we'll get to it and we'll read it that on the air as well, providing it is kind of podcast worthy. That also kind of goes to what we said earlier in this program, that if you have any kind of Black Friday or tales from retail, leave it down in the comments as well, and we'll read it on air. We'll probably pick a few and read a few on air. Let's see, what else? Just the usual social media stuff that we tend to tell. Again, our email is lonecoatmafia@gmail.com. You can always join in the conversation that way. You can send us a message on Facebook. Again, our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLoneCoatMafiaPodcast. Yes, we do have a mascot page. Please do not click send friend request to our mascot page, because we rarely get to it. And the best way for you to contact us is through our Facebook page, which again is facebook.com/TheLoneCoatMafiaPodcast, or sending us an email to LoneCoatMafia@gmail.com. Because we rarely check our mascot page, do not friend our mascot page, but it is there. We should get rid of it, but still, we think our mascot should have its own friend requested mascot page. But we also have a Twitter page, which I should be getting back into. I've been neglecting it, for various reasons. I haven't been visiting Twitter as much as I should, but I still should be visiting Twitter. We do have a Twitter handle. You could follow us there by clicking that follow button. Our Twitter handle is LoneCoatMafia. The same thing could be said about our Instagram account. We do post up photos of where we've been. We do post up occasional meme or two on our Instagram account. Our Instagram account is LoneCoatMafia as well. As you can also DM us on both Twitter and Instagram in regards to our show, what you think, if Twitter and Instagram is your preferred social media choice instead of Facebook. Just don't send us a hello to get our attention, because we'll either ignore it or delete it right off the bat, simply because, well, we get a lot of spam that starts off with hello, and when we reply, then we get, hi, would you like to visit our webcam site? Dirty videos are within. So that's why we really don't reply to a lot of hellos. But if you want to start off your DM with a hello and get into why you're DMing us, fine. We'll be more than happy to read your stuff. And if it's show worthy, we'll read it on the air. Let's see, what else? We do have a YouTube channel, as I mentioned before. You could easily send us or leave us comments on there. We'll visit or we'll read it. Our YouTube channel, you have to search for it, because again, we have 25 subscribers. We don't have the subscriber count right now to change it from all those letters and numbers to something more shorter. So while you're at our YouTube, to find us, you'd have to search up The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Yes, you're going to have to type the whole thing in before finding us. We should be the only channel that comes up. I did a test on without logging into Chrome or anything like that, or logging into Google. I did search up Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is the only channel that comes up right up top. Yes, there will be occasions where you'll see a lot of stuff pertaining to the Trench Coat Mafia. Ignore that crap. Yes, we understand this. When the new year starts, we'll be getting into some of the changes that we will be going through probably mid next year or so. But right now we're kind of looking into things. But again, we'll mention that when the year starts. What else? YouTube. We do have a Twitch channel, and we do have a Mixer.com channel. Our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/TheLoneCoatMafiaPod. And I think it's Long Coat Mafia PD. Our TikTok channel is at LCM Pod. Our Mixer channel is mixer.com/LCMP. But to go back to YouTube for a moment, We ask you to subscribe to our YouTube channel because for the moment, we are putting a lot of our stuff up on YouTube as YouTube exclusives instead of Facebook exclusive videos. So there are times that we'll be putting up YouTube exclusive stuff. But for now, subscribe to us on YouTube. That way, our videos, like our Baltimore Comic Con stuff, were YouTube exclusive videos, and we didn't put them on Facebook at all. There are some other videos that became like the panel that we did with Don Ramirez. A lot of the previews went straight to YouTube, not Facebook. So, that's a benefit of subscribing to both our YouTube channel and our liking our Facebook channel. That way, if there is an exclusive strictly on YouTube, you're catching the additional content. Or if there's Facebook exclusive video, you're catching the exclusive content there. So, if anything changes, we will let you know through either Twitch, Facebook, maybe Instagram, or all three. So, please like and follow us on social media. That way, you're up to date with a lot of news in regards to what's happening with the show, with other stuff, and it gives you a chance to communicate with us to what you might want to hear. So, what else? Where to find us? If you're listening to us in the car because somebody else is playing our episode and you wish to catch our back catalog, if you have a desktop or a laptop computer, you're more than welcome to go to our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and all our back catalog going from this week's episode all the way back to the beginning is there. You could download any episode you so wish. We have a lot of panel episodes, interview episodes, host-based episodes, more than just me rambling on about a topic. So there's that. And you can also stream them on that website. So we're also available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, and that's about it on the laptop or desktop. If you don't have internet connection, we do recommend you're more than happy to support your local library and going to your local library using their internet connection and if they have a computer lab, downloading one of our episodes through our main website, which again is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And snagging the episodes onto a jump drive and taking them home and listening to them at your leisure. While you're at our website, I must say that you can also look up more about us, some of the regular co-hosts that we had on at various points. I might have to update it a little bit to include some of our other social media stuff, and I want to kind of include Don Ramirez as one of our regulars per the show. So there's that. Let's see what else. If you listen to us on a mobile device or prefer to listen to us on a mobile device, whether it be an Android phone or an iOS type phone or what have you, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and where podcasts are found. As well as, yes, the Podbean app. I recommend a lot of folks, whether they're on the desktop or the mobile device, to kind of use the Podbean app on mobile and bookmark our webpage, which again is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, strictly because there's usually problems with a lot of the podcast catching apps like iTunes. There's been times that I've tried to look up this few podcasts that I listen to, and iTunes is having problems because they don't want to get the episode for whatever reason, and they're by big name people. What else? That seems to be it. I'll catch you all next time. Again, don't forget, if you want to share stories with us, please send them to our email, which is, again, longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And I'll catch all of you next week. And what's coming next week, I don't even know. So, see you all next week.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.